And communities are learning to their sorrow that as they weaken in their corporate devotion to the Eucharist, they weaken as a community. And you might almost say, what do they expect? So, first of all, in terms of the how, as we mentioned earlier, be sure that you yourselves know the meaning of the mystery of the real presence and explain it accordingly to others. Secondly, to make sure there is no doubt in anyone's mind that the Eucharist is sacrament three times over. It is sacrament as sacrifice in the Mass. It is sacrament as communion when received. It is sacrament as just being present. Which means, Christ, just because he is present on the altar, gives grace. How does he give grace? Infallibly. As the phrase goes, ex opere operato. Just because the Blessed Sacrament is reserved, therefore, everyone, and the word is everyone, who comes before that presence, no less than everyone who came before the presence of Christ during his visible stay on earth. You couldn't be in Christ's presence without being affected by him, period. And this is it. Thirdly, the holy hour. Now, this is something which, first of all, as you know, goes back, well, frankly, to Christ's agony in the garden. Remember when he asked Peter, James, and John to watch with him? Then Margaret Mary quoted Christ several times. And Christ's greatest sorrow, as he expressed, was that his own consecrated souls are so careless about this. I knew Archbishop Sheen well enough to know that he was preaching this thing in season and out of season. And he used to say, toward the end of his life, he did not miss a holy hour once from his ordination day until he was laid up in the hospital. And when I visited him in Manhattan shortly before his death, first thing he did is took me to the chapel. Here, says, this is where I do my work. So the holy hour. Now either 60 minutes or have to be broken up, but that to get an hour in a day before the Blessed Sacrament. I tell priests, you spend 1 hour before the Blessed Sacrament each day besides your Mass, and you've saved your soul and you've become a good priest. And years later they tell me, not always easy. I tell them, it's not easy for me either. And you can't stay awake without walking around. Walk around. Better make the holy hour walking around than not making it. Fourth, encourage people, when they have the option, to pray before the Blessed Sacrament. Now, that does not mean that prayer that is not before the Blessed Sacrament is not very efficacious. But, other things being equal, when I have the option to spend the time there. Fifth, asking for the grace of a deeper faith in the real presence. If Christ tells us, ask and you shall receive, our asking him for a deeper faith, he will give it to us. Six. Just want to be with the Eucharistic Christ. For no other reason. You walk in, you say, Lord, I don't know why I walked in here, I just want to be around. And just, well, I often do what you have to do, but as far as possible, do it there. I had a lecture to give at the university on hell last Wednesday. A series of four lectures on the four last things. Members of the faculty were asked to give the lectures. Nobody volunteered, so I volunteered. I'll give the lecture on hell. Well, I figured I better find out what this hell is all about. So the best place to find out was to go to chapel, and I got some, I think, pretty good insights. I'm having the lecture. It was given last Wednesday. It's 60 minutes on hell. And a couple of people afterwards said, "Father, gosh, this really helped me." Fine. Whatever was intelligent about that lecture came from Christ, who knows all about hell. So you do your work before the Blessed Sacrament. Now do any of you, for example, say the sisters, you ever do any sewing before the Blessed Sacrament? Please? You?
Anything I can. I have sewed a hem in my dress if I'm
on the phone. Well, by the way, as I was coming over, I was a little late already, so in my hurry I snapped whatever this thing is, this hook. So I walked in, this thing bulging. So I asked Sister Agnes at the switchboard if she has a needle and a thread. And lucky, she had some thread already in a needle. That's the best kind of thread to get. So I sewed it up before coming over, and it's still holding. But I do other things. I don't do any sewing before the Blessed Sacrament. I don't think there's... I think it's all right. Now, Martha did cooking. She complained about it. Now, you've got to get the idea that he's there. Certain things that have to be done. Now, most of my work is intellectual. I did tell you about my first spanking, didn't I? In first grade? I think it's apropos. I really do. She just died. Did I tell you this? My first grade teacher? Still Lucretia. Makes me feel young. Well, she was having us in first grade. There were 105 in class, sitting two in a seat. Well, I was in the back of the room, and we were told to make some figures out of clay. It was green clay. I still remember green clay. I was 6 years old, and I thought to myself, this kid stuff, playing with clay. I'll do something intelligent, like talk. So I engaged in conversation. She told me to stop. I didn't stop. She brought me to the front of the class to make expose my disobedience, put my fingers out, my hands out. Took one of those big rulers, and it hurt. Then I went back and I played with clay with my stinging fingers. But I think a child, I would not hesitate telling a child to play with clay before the Blessed Sacrament. Does that make sense? All I know is that anything that I can do before the Blessed Sacrament, I do it. And by now I know my fellow Jesuits, when they see me sitting next to the window, I don't even turn the light on so nobody can complain. There's Hardin again, and using good lights. I don't even turn the lights on. It works. And it's real. So just to be with him and find any excuse to be there. And finally, in terms of the how, I think villages should be apostles of the real presence. In other words, they themselves are so imbued with faith in Christ's Eucharistic presence that they want to tell everybody else about it, and they take every reasonable and, if need be, unreasonable occasion to tell people. The retreat that I gave about a month ago in New York from my graduate students, 35 of them, and when the committee for the retreat came to ask me, what do we do? I said, the first thing we're going to do, we're going to have the Blessed Sacrament exposed to the whole retreat. Say that again. We're going to have the Blessed Sacrament exposed to the whole retreat. Yes, Father. So we did. All Friday night, all Saturday night, and through the day, except during the actual time of Mass. 2 weeks before the retreat, every minute was signed up for. And they told me it just meant everything to them. So, explaining the real presence, encouraging devotion to the real presence, and now this needs more investigation and looking into than I think we've given it, but I think parishes need to be revived, if necessary, reformed. This is the Catholic faith, because this is Christ. And we have it, and we have this faith, we have Christ in our midst, and sadly, as you know, all sorts of substitutes have been created in place of devotion to the real presence. Processions, by the way, very little procession with the Blessed Sacrament, which, just for the record, the Council of Trent decreed 16th century. Christ now has two existences, which, until he died on the cross, he had only one. Perhaps we could put this in stages. Before the incarnation, God was present on earth only as God. With the incarnation, God became present on earth as the God-man. The distinctive difference between Christ's presence on earth since the incarnation and before, the distinctive difference is his humanity. There is no a human being who is hypostatically, that is, totally and substantially united with the divinity, present in the world of space and time. The moment Christ died on the cross, the mystical body came into existence. The physical body of Christ came into existence at Nazareth when Mary said, "Be it done to me according to your word." The mystical body came into existence the moment Christ pronounced the words, "It is finished. Into your hands I commend my spirit." The moment Christ died, what had been only the physical Christ now took on, in addition, his members, with whom he united himself as their head. The mystical body of Christ, therefore, is the Church. the mystical body may also be called the communion of saints. The mystical body is that communion of the souls in heaven, the souls in purgatory, and the living who are in God's grace and members of the church on earth, who are the members, therefore, of what we call the mystical body, whose head is the physical body. So the mystical body is a society. The mystical body is a group of people united with Christ. The mystical body has a soul. The soul of that mystical body is the Holy Spirit. Saint Paul distinguishes and uses words. He never mixes the two up. He never confuses the physical body of Christ with the mystical body. The physical body in Greek, in Paul, is sarx, S-A-R-X. The mystical body, or the church in Paul, is soma, S-O-M-A. What's the difference? Well, the difference between the physical body of Christ and the mystical body of Christ is all the difference between Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God that became the Son of Mary, and the society of all those who are united with Christ, joined to their head. The mystical body, as such, is not physically perceptible. You cannot see the mystical body as mystical body with your senses. You do not directly touch this mystical body. But the head, Christ, is sensibly perceptible. The members are, as members, sensibly perceptible. The physical Christ is Jesus. The mystical body is the church. And with that, we could talk for hours.
Christ is the head of the mystical body and this person. When we receive him in the Holy Eucharist, we receive the head of the mystical body. So in a very real way, we can say that we receive within the head of the mystical body, the church in communion with our...
Also, insofar, we receive the physical body of Christ, well, substantially. We receive the rest of the mystical body in spirit or volitionally, because Christ has all of us on his mind. He has all of us in his heart. Insofar as the whole church is on Christ's mind and in his Christ's heart, to that extent we receive what is on his mind and in his heart.
Wasn't the thing I think says his blood reddens my teeth, and we all have the same blood in Christ.
Sure.
We are truly.
Now, it is also, and with this we might close this section, that the physical body of Christ, by Christ's own command, is necessary to keep the mystical body of Christ alive. In other words, the members of the mystical body who are still struggling on earth will not remain united with that mystical body unless they receive the physical body. They will not grow in union with him they will not grow in union with one another unless they receive the head of the mystical body in the Eucharist. The one is a condition for the other.
Apart from Christ, so to speak, there's no other existence in the divine thought. God sees everything in His Son. We are part of that.
And notice, it is not only that apart from Him, there is no church. But remember, until we reach the beatific vision, we can be separated from Him. And consequently, we must constantly strengthen our bonds with Him at the risk of losing that union. And we mainly strengthen our bonds with Him through the Eucharist. That's why it is called the sacrament of unity. We are all naturally individuals, persons, separate, distinct, and different from one another. Nature divides, only grace unites. And the principal source of that grace which unites is the Eucharist. That's why Christ couldn't have given us, as He did at the Last Supper, the command to love one another as He has loved us, unless He gave us the means. And He made sure He gave us both the command and the means on the same occasion.
Father, it's so easy to see now, more so profound to see how by the Eucharist, by its very nature, invites us to pray communally with it. It's of its nature a call to community prayer.
It is.
It's almost like saying without the Eucharist, almost you look at it and say community is not effective without the Eucharist, community prayer.
And that's
yes.
Any tampering with that, that's why communities break up. That's why individuals, no matter how intelligent or otherwise devoted they may be, as their faith in the Eucharist weakens, their faith in the love of the community, their willingness to sacrifice themselves for the sake of the community weakens too. Well, I think we have another and the last section coming up, the apostolate as spiritual formation.
This concludes Father John Harden's talk on the devotion to the real presence and growth in sanctity.